We have a lengthy devotional and background study today. It is from to the right lesson. It is from the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 1 through 51. So bear with me. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good men of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scripture and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, Nothing. Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the twelve, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw that what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite them with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time, I'll ask teachers to take charge of the class.
My lesson today is entitled Hanging Out with the Enemy. And if you have you read this lesson, you'll kind of see that it's really a two-part lesson. It could have easily have been divided, and because of time restraints, because Terry read for half an hour, I'm pretty much going to concentrate on probably the first part of it more than I am the last part of it. This comes from the 22nd chapter of Luke, beginning with the 52nd verse. And the two parts is, the first part is the arrest of Jesus. And then the second part would be the trial of Jesus. So we're going to discuss right now the arrest part. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye not come out as against a thief with swords and staves? It sounds kind of funny, but he's saying, are you coming here with swords and staves like you would against a thief? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. So we find that they've come in the dark of the night to arrest him, and he says, I was with you all this time, and you never did anything to me, and here you come tonight to arrest me. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, that's the first part of the lesson, and I'm going to discuss that just a little bit. We find here in this lesson that they have come to arrest Jesus, and if it, as we all know, Peter had vehemently denied that he would ever deny Jesus. And matter of fact, he got all the other disciples surrounded up, I guess you might say, that they agreed with him. If you go over to the 14th chapter of Mark, in the 27th verse, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will I not I. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also they all said." So everybody jumped on Peter's bandwagon here, and they all said that they would die for Jesus that night if need be. They would all stand beside of him. So here we find people who think that they're going to stand for the Lord. Haven't we all said that? Haven't we all been in that place where we have promised God that we would stand for him through no matter what, thick or thin? And I've heard preachers stand in the pulpits, and I've heard people get up and state for a fact that they would die for Christ. Well, it's one thing to say you will, but it's a completely other matter to actually do it. And we've not ever been put to that test. So we really can't say what we'd do. Now, I'd like to say, just like Peter, I'd like to say that I would give my life today for Jesus. I would. I'd love to say that. I'd like to tell God that he didn't have to worry about me, that I'd give my all for the cause. But I've not been put to that test. I don't exactly know what I might or might not do. I would pray that I would have enough strength to stand like thousands of martyrs have stood in years past, to be burned at the stake or be beheaded or whatever trials and tribulations that befall them. But I don't know that I can truly say that I could stand like that. I would hope I could. I would ask God to give me the grace, to give me the courage to do that. But when that time comes, I really can't say where I would stand. And that's Peter's position. Now, he thinks that he's going to be brave and he's going to stand no matter what is being said. But we find something else happened. Now, the writer of this lesson indicates that Peter was hiding amongst the crowd, and he was trying to blend in, hence hanging out with the enemy. But as I studied this lesson, I can't really say that that was actually what Peter was doing, because we find in the 26th chapter of Matthew and the 58th verse, something that the scriptures say about Peter. And if he was actually hiding out, he would have left with all the other disciples. Wherever they fled to, wherever they went, they were hiding out. But Peter, it says here, "But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with his servants to see the end." See, that puts Peter in a little different light, in my opinion. He wasn't hiding in the crowd. He went with the crowd. just to see what the end was going to be. He was going to see this through. He was going to see what was going to happen. Now, you have to put yourself in their mindset. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God. The disciples did. The apostles did. You have to understand, they believed that. But they weren't so sure about this resurrection, this death and resurrection. They still had their doubts. And I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole other lesson. That when Jesus was raised from the grave, he went around and they were surprised. They were actually surprised. Well, I'm not going to go there. Just, you know that. So they had not really come to grips with what he meant when he said, I'm coming back. I'm paraphrasing here. They didn't understand that. And the scriptures bear that out. That they weren't fully convinced this was going to happen. As a matter of fact, some of them even said, I'm going fishing. Forget this. It's over with. I'm going fishing. I said I wasn't going to get into that. Okay, I'm not. Everybody goes for their phone. The trumpet. Oh, that's the cock crow. The cock crow is a trumpet. The night watch was divided into 3-hour segments. The first watch of the night was from 6 to 9. The second watch was from 9 to 12. The third watch was 12 to 3. Fourth watch was from 3 to 6. And then the day. So Jesus had told Peter. He said, before the cock crow, twice. So that's what this was. It was a trumpet. And the trumpet was sounding an all clear signal. They were along the walls of Jerusalem, and if everything was all right, they blew the trumpet to show that everything was clear and everything was going just fine. So anyway, we find now Peter has promised that he'll stand by the Lord no matter what. Then we find that Peter went with the crowd to the temple to see the end. He was wanting to see what was going to take place. So as I said, I don't think he was really hiding. And while he was sitting there, he says they all sat down, Peter among them. While they were sitting there, this woman beheld him as he sat by the fire that they had built up, earnestly looked at him and said, this man was also with Jesus. Well, what do you think Peter did? I believe it scared him to death, because there's all this activity going on in the temple. They had arrested Jesus illegally. If what I read is correct, none of this was supposed to be done at night. It was against their laws to do this at night. But anyway, it was at nighttime. The cock crow that they're talking about, I think, from what I read, is about 3 o'clock in the morning. So Peter's sitting there by this fire, and this woman looks around here and said, this man right here, he's one of them. And immediately, Peter denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Well, you see, that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid if my life was there on the line, that's what I'd be afraid I might do. Now, you can think you might not. I'm just telling you, human nature is to the first thing that we want to do humanly wise is to protect ourselves. We're not looking for harm. I don't want to be hurt. You know, my first inclination is, whoa, let me get out of this situation. Or hey, I'm going to deny this, but when I get out of this situation, I'll come back. You know how your mind... Anyway, that's how I look at this. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth," in other words, "I swear, this guy right here, I'm telling you, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." Now, they could tell he was a Galilean, I understand, by the accent that he had. Kind of like south and north, you know, you can tell what part of the country that you came from. So they were going by Peter's accent that he was a Galilean. And this guy said, "I know this guy. I swear, I promise you, this guy is one of them." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." Now, if you go into reading the other accounts, and like Matthew and Luke or Mark, you'll find that it says that Peter started cursing and swearing that he was not one of them. Now, in the 5th chapter of Matthew and the 34th verse, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Now, we all know that if you're in and I've been in this situation from where I worked, you had to talk, you had to do depositions, and you had to deal with lawyers, attorneys, and judges. And I had to swear that I was telling the truth. But this is not what that's talking about. This is talking about your personal being, of being honest. You should not have to swear. Let me give you an example of what I said a while ago. I swear that that man is one of them. Now, that's indicating I'm telling you the truth this time. And if I don't say I swear, I may be lying to you. So I have to preface that by saying, "I swear, this man's with you." You see what I mean? Jesus said you should be the type of person that you never have to swear to indicate that you're telling the truth. Your yea should be yea, your nay should be nay, and people should know you by that. And you should never have to swear. But there Peter was. He'd done lost it all. He began cursing and he began swearing that he wasn't one of them. And for those people just to leave him alone. And immediately while he yet spoke, the cock crew. Now I want you to listen to this next verse. Now Peter's down there with this group of people, and they're all, I don't know how many. Well, I'm sure there was a great number of people that were sitting out in the courtyard. And Jesus had been taken into the temple, possibly on a balcony or something, you know, where people could watch the proceedings, and they all had torches, and it was lit. And it said, now think about this. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And the Lord turned and picked him out of that crowd. And he looked Peter eye to eye. Have you ever looked Jesus eye to eye? I have. Not literally speaking, but I've looked at him eye to eye spiritually. When I know beyond a fact that I've done something that has displeased him. And I look to him, and he's looking back. And you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. Jesus turned to that crowd that was sitting down in that courtyard, and he looked directly at Peter, eye to eye. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How it said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Why? He knew he'd done wrong. He knew what he had promised God. And he had failed miserably. Just like me, I have failed miserably. So many times. To do what God would have me to do. And Peter wept bitterly over that. So begins the trial of Jesus. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council. This was after 6 o'clock in the morning. They led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, you will not believe me." Now, I want you to know that Jesus is talking this way because there is a path that he is on. And there is nothing that he wants to do other than fulfill what God has placed upon him to do. Now, the Bible says he could have called 6 legions of angels. Over 80,000 angels he could have called to help him right then. At any time of this trial and his subsequent crucifixion, he could have called angels to come and assist him. And I'll tell you what, they would have come. If he had just said, "I need you," they would have been there. But he's doing this for me. And he's doing this for you. He's fulfilling what God had said he was going to require. And they asked him, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, you will not believe him." Believe. This is the beginning of him before the highest court in the land. He's standing before the Sanhedrin council. He is being put on trial. And they're trying to get him on charges. Now, they don't have anything. They don't have anything against him. This man is innocent. He's not done one thing. He's already told them, "I was in the temple with you and you did nothing. Not one thing. And here you are now trying to railroad me on some trumped up charges. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Was he lying? No, he wasn't lying. Then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "Ye say that I am." And they said, "What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth." They had accused him, and they have just now convicted him of blasphemy for putting himself on the same level as God. They missed this one big time. And listen, they're still missing it today. This was the Son of God. And he's sitting today at the right hand. And he's looking down and interceding on our behalf today. This was the Son of God that they had just condemned for blasphemy. We have a great responsibility today. We know these things to be true. We know that Jesus went on from here to the cross and died a cruel and horrible death. And it was for each of us that he did this for. That 2,000 years later, as a 7-year-old little boy, I bowed back in the back of the church about midway at McFerrin Missionary Baptist Church. And I saw him. And I found him because of what he did that night. Because of the stand that he took. And the brave man that stood there and took all of that abuse is my Lord and Savior. Now, Peter went on and redeemed himself. He went on to be one of the greatest apostles. Carried that message everywhere. But I think he learned something that night. I think he learned to obey God. I think he learned where his loyalties lie. And we need to learn that today. Where do our loyalties lie? Do they lie with God, or do they lie with the world? Just where do we stand? If we've been saved by His merciful grace, we owe all to Him for what He's done for us. So let's remember the trials and tribulations that Jesus went through. Let's remember the weakness of Peter and how weak we are. I mean, if Peter was that weak, you just think how weak I am. So let's remember the sacrifices that have been put forth for and on our behalf, that we might come today, stand in this church, serve God, and do His will. Anyone have anything to say?
I can't remember the Bible or what to tell you how much power one angel had
for
lunch.
Oh, yeah.
And you're talking about me.
Yeah. There's really no understanding that. Angels have however much power God gives them that they can change the course of your life. They're able to change the course of your life. So, yeah, and if He could call 80,000 or 100,000 or whatever it may be, just think of what that would have done. But that would have defeated the purpose of why He was there. And look where we would be then. Anyone else? Well, Don, would you dismiss us?